Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you? It's not been a good day, has it, mate? Let's be honest, it's not been... Because you sound very chipper in this review.
Got to turn it on.
You did. It was impressive to see, because we've not had a great morning. I mean, I've had a bit of a rough one, but you've had a very bad day. Because you've had a bad day.
Yeah. So, just, we should be moving into the new studio.
Today.
Well, it should have been today. It's been pushed back to late Friday afternoon.
So, Saturday.
Yeah, so Saturday, which kind of scuppers our plans to have everything in place for that live stream
of Super Showdown.
Yeah. As much as Luke says it's a good idea to just turn up on the day.
I still think it's a good idea.
Without having tested anything.
Test it in the morning. Go there first thing and test it in the morning.
It starts at 9.
Well, go there at 8 then.
Easy for you to say. You're not in.
I'm not doing it, mate.
No, the original plan was to be in there today and get everything set up and tested for our first ever live stream on Saturday. I doubt that's going to happen anymore. So there was that. And then the light failed. If you watch the YouTube version of yesterday's Raw Review Ramble, you can see about halfway through, one of the lights just goes... and we both look. And like, oh, it's darker in here now. So that was... That was the official death of one of our longest-running lights.
Oh, it was a sad day.
Sad day. And then I got in this morning. I was like, oh, yeah, that light's gone. But we bought new lights for the new studio. Was saving it for them. I got those out. I set one up. And I was like, okay, cool. This is that's sorted. And then, just as I was about to press record, boom! A big, it's called a redhead, which is this hot, bulb-like thing, just blew.
It's a big overhead light. Yeah. It goes over the camera.
The one that fills us in rather than lights the green screen on the back. I was like, okay, all right. Okay, well, that's gone. It's going to be too hot to touch for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I set up the other light because we bought three new lights to replace our three current lights in the new studio. So, okay, set up the new light. And then I was like, okay, well, now the light balance is weird. So I had to set up all three new lights, and that was that. And in moving, the only original light that worked...
The one working light we had left.
I dropped it on the floor and smashed the bulb.
So we are currently looking now at where there are just shards of bulb on the floor, and the look on your face when you dropped it. Oh, it was heartbreaking.
It all happened in 40 minutes of each other. I got in early today and everything.
Oh, mate.
And then our editor was like, yeah, the lights we can work around, but we really need the sound issue fixed. I was like, oh, what sound issue? And he's talking me through how to fix the sound issue. And he was like, go in the menu on this thing. I go into the menu on our radio mic receiver And I've never been in the menu for the radio mic receiver. It's always worked, apart from this week, because everything's fallen apart. Did I mention my car broke down over the weekend? And I open the menu, and wouldn't you know it, the up button is jammed shut. So as soon as I press the menu, the options go right to the top, selects the top option, and then changes that setting to the top setting. So whatever squelch is, we now have the highest possible setting.
It's at max.
And our editor says, oh, right, and you can't change it. So no, the up button's jammed. Like, it's, yeah, I can't change it at all. And he says, oh, yeah, you'll need to use another radio mic. Well, one broke over MediaCom weekend. Another one peaks too much. And the third one was taken home by Mark the Beast Labette of the Chase fame. So that was our only radio mic. I haven't recorded the news yet. My car's getting fixed in half an hour.
Yeah.
But Raw was great.
Yeah, and SmackDown was fine.
SmackDown was fine.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we've got to be, you know, as Lolly has just pointed out, then we're up against it today because unfortunately that whole thing has delayed it, has knocked us back. We're meant to be recording Ramble Club today. I'm not sure if that's going to happen now. So if you are a Patreon backer, I'll apologize in advance. Ramble Club was meant to be up this coming Friday.
I think we can get it up for Friday.
Well, we're working Friday, aren't we? So we could probably get it. It might not be Friday morning like usual. It might be Friday afternoon, Friday evening. But we're working on it. We're trying to see what we can do. But unfortunately, everything's kind of falling apart at the moment. Quite literally and figuratively, everything is falling apart. But anyway, we're going to be talking about Samoa Joe nearly being fired at the start of this week's SmackDown Live by General Manager Paige. Well, I wonder how that'll pay off for the rest of the show. Spoilers, it doesn't. Anyway, here's the show.
Where the show kicked off last night with Paige in the middle of the ring, and she's addressing that epic cliffhanger that we had last week, which is where Samoa Joe went to AJ Styles' home again. You knew it was AJ Styles' home because it had Styles on the post box outside, and he went up AJ's front lawn. This is not a euphemism. He went up to the door. He had a little gift for AJ's daughter. And then he goes, Daddy's home. And that's where it ended. All the while AJ is begging Joe to not go in his house. And then it opens this week, the follow-up of that. Because last week we were very... Well, we loved that angle. I loved that angle in particular. Weirdly positive at the moment.
Yeah, you
with
are.
WWE. It's strange.
Captain in awe.
Yeah, maybe it's not them. Maybe it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing anything.
You're just
different.
In a really good mood because you know that the finish line of the new studio is in sight.
Potentially.
And maybe that is just raising your spirits.
Or just, I love big events. And when have we ever had so many big events in WWE's calendar at one time?
Well, I mean, and it really was a big event. But I'm curious, because you and I have not discussed this yet, how you feel the payoff to it was.
Right, okay, yes. Yeah. So I mean big events like Super Showdown.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Right, 1000, but yeah. Sure. The last week we were like, well, this is great, but kind of like the Aiden English stuff, how do you pay off on this next week? Because it's not like you can pick it up right away and Joe is in AJ's house toying with the family and stuff, because a week's passed since then.
Yes.
And AJ really should have gone for it.
These episodes of SmackDown Live are not like watching something on Netflix.
Yeah.
Where an episode will end and then it's like starting the next episode in 20 seconds.
Yeah, a week in real time has passed.
Yes.
So that's why it's weird when people don't talk in between these tapings. They're like, oh, I haven't seen them since last Monday.
Yeah, but sometimes they try and like get around. Like, I've been sending them texts. I've been sending them DMs and they've not been responding.
So the way round this was, you know, this week's episode opened with Paige in the ring and she addressed Samoa Joe's heinous actions.
She called it the most dastardly crime. Dastardly being a heck of a Vince McMahon word, the most dastardly crime in WWE history. Now, that is quite some hyperbole right there. And it's
a hyperbole company.
I know, but like, and this happens later on in the show as well when Corey Graves says that Randy Orton's attack on Ty Dillinger is the most devastating attack he's ever seen. Problem is, when you just say it all the time, it just means nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's funny as well because like I think a lot of the reactions I've seen to this segment online are people just poking fun at that. because it is it is a frankly ridiculous line of dialogue.
And it just opens them up to too much criticism, because there's quite a big crime that happened in real life. Dave Meltzer pointed this out when someone said, "Hey, Dave, what is the biggest crime in your opinion?" And he goes, "Well, you know, probably Chris Benoit's double murder suicide."
Yeah.
Which, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy, you know.
That's awful.
Jimmy Snuckers, another one. Yeah. You know, there's allegedly there's lots of you know, crimes, real life crimes, but also just like in storyline crimes, and that line didn't need to be there. And I think what then sort of makes that line worse is that Paige then reveals that no crime was really committed, because they said that they, like, AJ Styles, like, Joe didn't even get it through the front door. He just rang the doorbell and they managed to call the cops, and the cops arrived and Joe was taken away, and, you know, charges were filed and whatnot. So Joe, in their version of events, Joe rang the doorbell and then the cops were there.
Or he rang the doorbell and ran off and hid behind a bush.
Yeah, I was going to say, just play Knock Knock Ginger.
Yeah, Knock Down Ginger, we called it. Maybe he lit a pile of feces for someone to come out and stamp on. So, hilarious hijinks.
So really, Knock Knock Ginger, in the grand scheme of WWE events, is not the most dastardly crime in WWE history.
I don't... Knockdown Ginger. I haven't said that since I was a kid.
Neither have I.
Why is it called that? For American listeners, if you call it something else, it's just where you knock on someone's door and
then
run away.
And run away, yeah.
It's fun.
Up north, we used to call it Knock Knock Leg It.
Yes.
But Knock Knock Ginger is what we called it down south.
Yeah, we called it Knockdown Ginger.
So as weird as that, yeah. Different colloquial terms for the same prank.
So maybe we're being, you know, politically incorrect, and we just sorry Seamus, sorry Becky Lynch, sorry all the redheads in the world, if we've offended you. But I guess that, or maybe Samoa Joe could be lurking outside. That's not the bit I've got a problem with. It's in terms of kayfabe and would this play out in real life? That's not the bit that's
got
me. And to be honest, not much of this segment got me. It was just a bit middling after a really hot angle last week to close the show, and then this is your go home angle. I just think it was a wasted opportunity. We've been saying that we want to see Joe in AJ's house, sitting down for dinner with them for ages. So why can't you just have the thing where this week it opens up with a video package of what happened? Samoa Joe was on his phone. So you just have a little film that Joe's made. And it's like, oh, hi, Wendy, how's it going? Kiss her on the cheek, look into the camera devilishly. Oh, hi, AJ's daughter, nice to see you again. Here's the dolly. Oh, yes, I will. Yeah, if I'm not putting you out, I would love to have dinner with you, Styles family.
Absolutely.
And you just play this.
Really intimidating as well, because you can then have Styles' wife and child looking very terrified that this intimidating man has just walked in.
I think it's more scary if they're not in on it.
But surely they would be in it, because we saw them at SummerSlam.
But they were more scared that AJ went so far.
But they know, surely, that Joe is the catalyst for that.
I get it, yeah. So you can have all that play out this week, as opposed to what they did do, which was Paige says this rather stupid claim that just opens up too many holes of, you know, this is the most heinous act ever, when you could have just said, this is a heinous act.
Yes.
And that gets it over a lot more. Otherwise, it just becomes like a sales pitch for everything is the biggest thing in history, whenever that becomes like white noise after a while. And then they do the whole thing about, you know, management said that Joe should be fired, which is what the title of this thing relates to. But AJ said no. I want the match with him at Super Showdown. And then we cut to a video with AJ in his living room doing AJ acting.
I thought this was better than last week. I thought AJ was quite good here, actually. I really enjoyed AJ's performance, personally.
Yeah, well, that's good. Good. I'm glad you did. I mean, I didn't hate it. I just, Joe's so good. And why put people in these positions if that's not their strength?
Mm-hmm.
AJ's strength is wrestling. Just, you know, emphasize that. When was the last time he wrestled on SmackDown?
Well, it's probably a couple of weeks ago in Almas or something along those lines. But I think that's really, for me, it's not it was the most dastardly act or dastardly crime in WWE history. It wasn't Paige's claims. It wasn't the kayfabe holes of, like, the police showed up. And it wasn't AJ just, and it wasn't AJ's acting that really put a downer for me on this segment. I think, and I think you were sort of in agreement with me here as well, this was the go-home segment. Like, this is the go-home show for Super Showdown. It's a big-time match. This is the third time they're having this match. In theory, it might be the last time they have this match, going by the way that WWE usually book feuds. So this might be the last-time encounter. And they're crowning a new number one contender at Super Showdown. So really, you'd think, this is the end of this feud. And AJ and Joe were not on the show. AJ yeah. had this one segment here. No Joe whatsoever. No promo. No match. No video package. It was absolutely nothing. As soon as this segment ended, you may as well have not mentioned this match at all, like, throughout the show. And I think that's a real... That's such a disappointment. Because you had such a hot angle last week. And this... And I don't want to say it was a wet fart of a follow-up, but it was certainly a fart of a follow-up. Mm. It wasn't a great follow-up to what was really good last week. And... I mean, although knowing SmackDown, we'll probably get the payoff for it in 5 weeks' time.
Yeah.
And then it'll be really good.
Well, I get, like, Paige is very angry with Joe, so that's a reason why he's not on the rest of the show. But that doesn't mean he can't run in and do something.
Absolutely, yeah.
And AJ has this little clip, and he says in it, you know, I'm not going to leave my family until I know Joe is out of the country. But when he said that and people realised he wasn't on the show... They booed,
exactly. He said, I'm not going to be there tonight. I'm really sorry, I'm not going to be on the show tonight.
And I get, like, this is a babyface character. He wants to protect his family. Totally good. I feel it needed a better performance or a better promo, though, to make that not a heel thing. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like this came off as cowardly, but you need to cut a better promo for the audience not to boo you for not being there and protecting your family. Like,
yeah,
that's on you, not the audience, I think. But then, like, as soon as he said, I'm not there tonight, that said to me, oh, he's here tonight. So he'll show up in the main event, and that will be your go-home angle.
Yeah.
And then when it was like 10 minutes after the episode finished, I was, you know, having a shave. And I went, oh, no, that never paid off. Yeah. And there was this weird line at the end of AJ's promo. When I see you at Super Showdown, I'm going to bury you alive.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to put you... When I meet you down under, I'm going to leave you down under, or something along those lines. It's like, I'm going to bury you alive. Which almost felt like they were building towards a buried alive match.
Yeah. It's a weird choice of words. It's like to say...
Oh, what if that's going to be a SmackDown 1000? They'll do the buried alive match on SmackDown 1000.
Of all, like, the... You know, we say this isn't the right stipulation for this, having a no DQ match after... Well, when you need, like, a second referee, you need more rules in place after the last finish.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, it makes total sense. It makes total sense.
A no DQ to a buried alive finish. So the finish for this will be, like,
yeah.
I don't know, double tap out. Well, there's only one way to settle this.
Yeah, buried alive.
Buried alive. Like, it's like saying in a promo, in a feud, I'm just trying to think of a ridiculous stipulation now. Like, well, I guess, you know... I'm going to beat you up so bad, you're going to feel like you've been in a Punjabi prison. And that doesn't pay off.
I actually forgot. God, you've just reminded me that. I actually forgot that was the finish to the Hell in a Cell match, was AJ tapping out when Joe had the pin. Because that's
not played into
anything.
That's
not played into anything since then.
It was such a good finish.
God, I didn't even think about that. That's another shame about this feud, actually. But yeah, no, I forgot about that. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We're actually in chronological order for a change, because we opened with the first segment.
Yep.
So after that, we
You'll never hear the names AJ and Joe on this on this review again.
Unless we go, well, we're AJ and Joe. So next up, we had R-Truth and Carmella, still a babyface, versus Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. Kind of, you know, I was like, why is Mixed Match Challenge on SmackDown? And then I remembered, Vega and Almas aren't a team, and they're probably the most logical team to have in that tournament.
Well, Rusev and Lana.
Yeah, yeah.
And Naomi and Jey Uso. The letter J Uso. I'm not saying if it's J or Jimmy, the letter J Uso.
Well, I would say it's Rusev Day and Zelina and Almas.
Yeah.
Like, Naomi and Uso aren't really
Mr. Jey Uso.
You know, they're not an act on TV.
That's very true.
Occasionally they interact, but they're largely kept apart. It was another bad week of ratings for them.
Oh yeah,
it peaked at 48,000 viewers.
Mate, that's what we do.
Yeah,
and we're not.
Yeah, we are true.
And you can kind of tell that the ratings haven't been great for Facebook Watch in terms of Mixed Match Challenge, because they did this on Raw as well, where they show you how to watch Facebook Watch. So it's not that people aren't watching the show; it's people don't know how to watch the show, and that's why ratings are bad.
Yeah, it's not. It can't be the problem with us and our uninspiring booking.
No,
and this, you know, this tournament that we've told everyone means nothing and is weirdly out of continuity. It's their fault. They don't know how to find it.
They're just idiots.
Do you reckon next week, because it's another historic low for Raw, they beat last week's historic low with another historic low?
Yeah.
Not good at all.
Well, you say it's not good at all, but really it doesn't matter. Like, this might be this is another topic for another video, but really it doesn't matter, because WWE stocks are like at the highest they've ever been.
It depends where you have your sights. In short term, sure, yeah, they've got loads of money, but long term, this is just going to chip away at your base, and the next time, in 5 years' time, when those deals come up for renewal,
well, that's what I was going to say. It's a 5 years' time thing, but at the moment, like, I would imagine that they probably aren't that worried.
Well, they should be,
also because they're moving to Fox as well. SmackDown is. And, yeah, maybe they've probably got plans in mind to move to the network regardless.
In my opinion, they should be worried. And let me finish my joke.
Sorry, absolutely.
So next week on Raw, I bet they'll have, like, oh, by the way, this is how you select the channel we're on. Ha ha, funny joke, Ollie.
It was hilarious.
Thanks. So this was a match. It was
I thought this was quite fun, actually.
Fine.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I thought the finish was really good.
Yeah, so that was, Carmella's head scissors. She does this before, but it felt better as a baby face.
Yeah.
Looked badass.
It looked pretty good.
A head scissor choke.
Yeah, the Code of Silence, I believe it's called. But she did that, like, she reversed Vega's pin to lock in.
Yeah.
It actually looked really good. So this puts over Mixed Match Challenge. And it was what it was. They did the dance break, crowd chant for Truth TV. I did like when Phillips pointed out that, he went out to Corey Graves, like, you used to really like Carmella. And Corey just quietly went, yeah, things change.
Like Carmella's character.
Carmella's a babyface now.
Uh, Yeah, this was fun. Almas had a moment with Carmella where he broke up the pin, and usually you don't get the male on female stuff, so R-Truth took out Almas. And yeah, I mean, Carmella, this is the most I've enjoyed Carmella for ages.
Oh, I've not enjoyed Carmella this much all year long.
Yeah, who would have thought, like, yeah, a random babyface turn
yeah, it really
without
is.
The title and paired with R-Truth
yeah.
is the way to take her character.
Because I really did not get on with her as champion. Mm. I really didn't like that
Famously.
Stretch. I just didn't get on with it because an inconsistent character would really, really grind my gears. But I'm really enjoying her here because yeah. it's a consistent character.
Yeah, and
that's good.
Compared to, it's just the other women on the roster are so, like, you know, Asuka, Naomi, Charlotte, Becky, they're the people who should be at the top of the division. So to have Carmella inserted in there, although a very good promo, it's awkward. But now she's sort of where she should be.
Yeah.
It's like Jinder last year, you know. He's great as a mid-card act, but not to be suddenly pushed into the main event.
And I'd also say as well that Carmella, in this current position she's probably the third most interesting female character on the SmackDown brand.
Yeah. Yeah, can't argue with that.
Might even be the second.
So after that, we had an angry Ty Dillinger backstage. So angry, he did not say hello to Paige. He just stormed right up to her and went, "I want Randy Orton," allegedly. And Paige was like, "Oh, a hello to you too."
Yeah, it was quite a funny little segment. And then she was like, Ty Dillinger was really angry because he's like, "No, I want a match with Randy Orton." She's like, "Did you not see what he did to Jeff Hardy in Hell in a Cell?
He moved out the way." Brutal.
And Ty was like, "I don't care. I want to have this match." And she just went, "I don't get men. I don't understand men. You can have the match."
Sexist. I found this horribly misogynistic. No, the opposite.
The opposite.
What's the opposite to misogynistic? Mrs. Justic. I don't know. But yeah, I like how they're playing up that Jeff Hardy hasn't been seen since Hell in a Cell. He's on every house show. But I like that. It's like it makes Randy Orton, you know, seem even more dangerous.
Yeah.
Then we go. Oh, and she let the Orton Ty Dillinger match happen for later on. Mm-hmm. Then we got the newest New Day segment.
Yep.
Which is, I guess, what, like a highlight reel or a Kevin Owens show kind of thing.
Well, I think this was just like a 1 week thing, really, wasn't
New
it?
New Day cooks. I wouldn't be surprised if this was franchised out.
Oh, yeah? I thought this might just be a 1 week gimmick.
So.
Just to, well, I was going to say, I was trying to find a tweet that I got sent this morning. Oh, can I find it? No, the internet's
good luck
not
str- internet.
Yeah, the internet's not that strong in this room.
Was it the one that said which side? Ah, of
yeah,
the
it was from
scale?
It was from Cody saying, "I can't wait to see what side of annoying Ollie Davis and Luke Owen think the New Day were on this week." So, what side of annoying do you think they were on this week?
Oh, we should have like a because usually I'd like this is borderline for me. I didn't find them annoying or entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do that Inception dreidel finish. It's still spinning.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I was going to say, oh, man, do you remember when Gallus and Anderson used to have the Nerdometer?
Oh, yeah.
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 Just I'm one of those.
Who are they? Where are they?
I don't know. Probably
where
now.
Where is AJ and Samoa Joe? Yeah, so it was the New Day in the ring, and they had a kind of cooking thing set up. The ring was dressed. And they've got Mr. Bootiesworth.
No, it's just Bootyworth. Because I wrote Bootiesworth initially as well, but then they said it was Bootyworth, so I had to amend my notes. That's the only reason I know that for sure.
And he was revealed to be the pancake chef. He's the guy that prepares all these pancakes, and he's going to share the recipe, speak for the first time, but the bar's music interrupted. I like that moment.
Yeah,
I liked Big E's joke at the start, just a word for our sponsors. Ico Pro.
Yeah, that was good.
Of course, a joke at the expense of Vince McMahon's failed protein brand in the early 90s. When Raw first launched, if you're not familiar, there's the big Ico Pro banners in the old Manhattan Center.
Yeah.
They brought them back for Raw 25 this year.
Which is a nice touch.
And a lovely touch, yeah. But yeah, the bar came down.
Woods was very upset. He said they were going to send this pilot to Guy Fieri. Do you know who Guy Fieri is?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of his show, Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, on Food Network.
them.
Right, okay.
So, I like her. I mean, Guy Fieri is quite an easy person to make fun of because he looks like he'd have been a massive fan of Sum 41 in 2001 and hasn't changed his look since then.
So that's why you
I like it because I look the same way. He wears his sunglasses on the back of his head.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and he's got blonde spiky hair.
Ooh. Yeah, it sounds like Crazy Town.
Crazy Town. Yeah, you're my butterfly, sugar baby.
So the bar get into the ring, and Sheamus says, "Hey, well, Cesaro's Swiss. He knows a few things about pastries. Mm-hmm. Pastry Week on Great British Bake Off last night. Shout out, go and watch
it. Spoil it. I haven't seen it. I was playing Dungeons and Dragons. I didn't see it.
It was one of the best episodes
no
of Bake Off.
Way.
I was on the edge of my seat.
Man, I'm not going to see it tonight either, because me and wife are going to the cinema.
Well, do you know what else you're going to miss tonight? This is a bit off topic.
What, Taskmaster?
But I only found out that it's my favourite show on normal television.
The Apprentice.
Starts tonight.
No, it doesn't. Does it really?
It does. 9
no
o'clock.
Way.
Cancel the movie trip.
I may have to, actually, to be honest.
I've cancelled my writing group. I'm like, sorry, we're going to have to postpone for 10 weeks.
Yeah, because The Apprentice is back on. Oh, mate.
Get in.
Yes. Love The Apprentice.
Business.
Oh, it is. Muppets doing business. Can't wait.
So anyway, Cesaro is pastries, whatever. They attack the New Day. They throw flour everywhere. And they lay out the New Day and pour pancake mixture into Bootyworth's hat, put it on his head, and then pour more mixture over him. And Bootyworth sold this very well. I did enjoy Bootyworth, or Bootiesworth.
I think it's just Bootyworth.
Bootyworth.
I'll be honest, I'm just thinking about The Apprentice now.
Yeah.
And just I'm thrilled because Celebrity MasterChef has just finished. I was looking for a fix of things to watch on TV.
People, you know, say, what is it like to be a YouTuber? And, you know, that's our life. We get up early to watch wrestling, and then we watch
The Apprentice and MasterChef. And Taskmaster.
So where would you put the
I said in the review they were on the wrong side of annoying this week.
Not massively, but
I thought the best thing about the segment was Bootyworth, and he didn't say a word.
Yeah.
So that was less annoying, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, I like the bar.
I like the bar in it as well. I thought Cesaro had a really weird, like, cause they said that, you know, he's Swiss, so he knows a thing or two about pastries. And then Cesaro just goes, yep, my friends call me chef.
Yeah, and then Sheamus was like, yeah, that's genuine.
Yeah.
They actually do call him chef.
To utter silence, because the crowd had no idea how to react to such an odd line.
I think it's one of those in-jokes.
It clearly was an in-joke.
I liked how Sheamus, you know, like, Sheamus, no, but that's like, all of this is fake.
Yeah, but that's real.
It's true. Like, I found this out yesterday.
He's a really good chef.
Cesaro's Swiss friends called him chef. What a nerd. I would love to go around Cesaro's house.
Or for food.
And he could cook us food. We could appreciate coffee together. Aiden English can come round. He can introuce us to some fine whiskies.
Mm-hmm.
Which we both struggle with, but we can pretend to like them.
You really want to get onto that bandwagon, don't you?
I think it'll make me more interesting.
Well, so this is off topic now, but we once went out for drinks. We went to a fancy gin bar, and I very much enjoy a gin. But you are not the biggest fan of gin,
so you
asked for a whiskey on the rocks because you thought that might make you look cool and interesting, and then you just, at one point you just went, this is horrible.
Yeah.
I'm not enjoying this.
That particular whiskey was like getting punched in the face every time we drank it.
I had a delightful gin cocktail. It was delicious.
So that happened. Yeah. And then we got tied in. Oh, yeah. So that's the go-home angle for Super Showdown.
Well, in all fairness, like, they've already done the singles matches. So you have to do something else, I guess.
Well,
break it up a little bit.
Not the hottest feud.
Hopefully it'll
be a good match.
Yeah. I'm not... And there's a tag match later on that's less hot. Mm. But, you know, we'll come to that.
Ty Dillinger took on Randy Orton next in a cracking angle. Wasn't really a match because Ty just attacked Randy during Randy's entrance and got the better of him for about a minute.
Did Randy's backdrop onto the table. It was a great spot.
Kind of similar to how Ty got the better of Shinsuke last week in the opening couple of minutes of their match, just because he was so furious. I like what they're doing with Dillinger right now. I think I'm not going to say they're going to push him. This is like signifying a big push, but it is cementing him as a player in that mid-card.
Well, that's what I'm hoping as well, because last week I was slightly down on this, because I just instantly assumed, and that's my fault, that they were just using Dillinger as essentially just like a plaything. You know, he's just a body for Randy Orton to beat up, as opposed to we want to kind of turn this into a storyline where Ty Dillinger can get a bit of a rub off this, you know, with him in there with Randy and possibly with Shinsuke as well. And Ty said, I'm going to deal with Shinsuke on another date. So I do hope, like you, that this is going to go somewhere and not just be a setup for someone to save Ty Dillinger down the line. Like we've been saying at SmackDown 1000,
like Rey Mysterio
or something like that, because that's Randy's rumored next feud is with Rey. So I don't want this to just using Ty for the next couple of weeks just to fuel a Rey return and then Ty fade back into obscurity.
Thanos away. But I showed real good fire here. Mm. Orton cuts him off with a draping DDT off the barricade, though. And then the gears start turning. Those voices in his head, and he sees that, like, first off, he takes off the steel steps. So he separates the steel steps. You're like, oh, what's he going to do here? And just like, I know that John Cena feud went on forever, but Randy would have his moments back in, like, 2008, 2009, where he'd just, like, look for different awful things to do to people. And I love it when you can see him thinking about what's the next hideous thing he's going
to
do.
Listening to the voices.
Yeah, and
it's
he's
good.
Bringing that character back and then some here. And he sees the connector between the ring post. Well, so is that the turnbuckle? That connecting bit?
No, the turnbuckle is when you take the pad off.
Yeah, that's the end.
That's the exposed turnbuckle.
Yeah, or is that whole element?
I mean, I think I called it a bar. Yeah. Not the bar, but I called it a bar in my review. But I don't know the technical term for it. That's just a guess on my part. It very well may be the turnbuckle itself.
Yeah, so whatever that bit is.
We'll ask one of our wrestling friends.
Yeah, Randy's looking at
it. We'll ask Cesaro when we go around to his house.
Yeah, and there's a separate, there's a bit in the middle where you could, like, you know, conceivably put a digit. So he's like, okay, I'm going to do that. And he gets Ty's finger and he puts it in there and he just bends it back. And it's such a safe spot. He's probably not even, you know, he's not, it's just people selling. It's all the magic is behind his hands. It's your mind filling in the blanks of pain. And I was wincing watching this as he was bending it back, and then he did a sort of snap move to make it look like he'd broken the finger off. Joint manipulation. It was a really visceral moment. And the reason I like it even more, I didn't hear you say this in your SmackDown review earlier.
Ten. He can't do the 10. Someone shouted that from the crowd.
He can't do the 10.
Like, Randy, he can't do 10 anymore. There was one guy who was audibly on camera going like, I don't know what you're going to do, Randy. What you got planned? Oh, no, Randy.
Get him on commentary.
Well, yeah, because this is when Corey Graves said it was one of the worst attacks he's ever seen. And I'm like, in the grand scheme of Randy Orton attacks in the last 6 weeks, it's fairly low on the low down, I would say.
Yeah, he moved out the way of a Jeff Hardy bump.
Yeah, I thought the finger in the ear hole was much worse than this.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how these are completely safe things, and they're very tiny, actually. You know, earlobes, fingers, but and I really like the rubbing of the face paint off.
Yeah,
it's targeting someone in a physical way that actually ties in very neatly to their character.
Yes.
With the tie turn. I really
appreciate
it.
And I'll be honest, and I didn't pick up on that. It's very much on me. But I think that's actually a really nice touch.
A lot of attention has gone into that attack. And genius.
Good
I
stuff.
Thought.
I thought it was the second best thing on the show.
Mm. Then we had a backstage segment with Shelton Benjamin, who I forgot existed.
Well, I think I saw someone talking about this on Twitter, that he was trying to get a match. And then that turned into this one. He got a match with Daniel Bryan. And The Miz walked in, and Miz actually says, you're welcome. I saw your tweet. I put the call in. I got you this match. It wasn't you. I got you this match. But I need you to hurt Daniel Bryan. I need you to not just win. You need to make a statement. It was good. I thought The Miz was good.
Yeah.
Shelton said he's been on the bench for too long, which is very true.
He's really been underused. Mm-hmm. It was the last thing was the Chad Gable stuff, and then Chad Gable went to Raw. Was that in April?
Superstar shakeup, I would imagine.
Was it even a superstar shakeup? Did they even announce? I don't know. So next up, we got the other follow-up to the last week's big cliffhanger. So you had the Samoa Joe AJ Styles home invasion angle. How are they going to follow up that? not very well. But there was also what happened in Milwaukee.
Yes,
which was
Milwaukee.
And Aiden English, if you're not familiar with this, claimed that he had kind of essentially a sex tape of Lana or something nefarious on Lana.
He hasn't said exactly what it is. He's just calling it that night in Milwaukee that Lana never told Rusev about. And he called this segment One Night in Milwaukee, which is a reference to, well, a lot of sex tape titles, including one starring a former WWE star, unfortunately. God bless her. And it was a video of, and I like this as well, because like, so Rusev and Lana come out and they're like, you know, Aiden, you come out here and you show your evidence. I don't believe you've got this evidence. And Aiden comes out and he's all cocky. We got told off last week because we didn't mention that Aiden's got new merchandise. And he starts stalling for time. He's like, I'm going to show you this clip. But first of all, I want to tell you some facts about Milwaukee, which I thought was really good. And some things I didn't even know, that I didn't know that Love Actually was filmed there.
Tear-jerking dramas, he said. like Love Actually
and basketball.
It's a great line. I feel like we spoke about basketball last week.
It was last week because there was a guy on the sign that had, he was dressed up like the Milwaukee Bears and had a sign that said, yeah, your mum's going out with Squeak.
Maybe Aiden saw that, and that was,
it could be.
So the action. So eventually, he plays the clip, and he was actually shown backstage asking the production truck to cue it up beforehand. So, you know,
continuity.
Well done.
It's because Road Dogg watches the show and listens.
Oh yeah, and it's a clip in portrait mode.
He is a heel,
just like Samoa Joe last week. But I did appreciate this, and it's. It's Aiden English topless in a hotel room, and he is practicing his entrance for Rusev that night in Milwaukee. So he's going through, you know,
just words that rhyme with Milwaukee. He's just practicing it. Maybe he just wants to show Rusev later on. But then there's a little rat tat tat at the door, and it's only Lana.
And Lana walks in looking very sheepish. And, you know, she says how she's wanted to say something for quite some time. And I really need to say it out loud to you. I want you.
Boom. Cut the tape off. It's a genius move.
Yeah.
This is tremendous. Because that's brilliant. It's a line that could be anything. Like, I want you to interfere in a match later on. I want you to be at Rusev's side. I want you... It could be anything. I want you to go and get me a coffee. Like, there's so many things that could be said there. But when taken out of context, those three words do sound like Lana wanted to cheat on Rusev. Like, that's it's brilliant as well, because like, and anything's just like, I would love to show you the rest of the tape. There's more, but like, I would love to show you more, but I've got to deal with TMZ. And then had my favorite line of the show, and was like, and I certainly wouldn't want to cheat on that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. This is awesome.
Yeah, and when that clip plays and it's cut off, it goes to the ring, and Lana doesn't look outraged. She kind of looks a bit nervous, and I fully believe that this is all a ruse by Aiden and it's not nefarious at all. But like, I'm kind of worried that Lana might have done something.
Yeah,
and I understand Ruse, like, that makes it more believable to empathize with Rusev when he go, because Lana said, oh no, but Rusev, there's more. But, you know, there's more to that tape. That isn't the only bit I said. And Rusev says, there's more? Like, what, you did more with that guy?
Yeah.
And then he snaps out of it and runs after English. So there, you can kind of empathise with multiple sides of this feud. It's very, very good. For me, I don't think it's quite clearly, I want you in Rusev Day.
Yes.
Because, the way it's built up, that I want to say it out loud, I've been thinking about this. And that kind of retrofits why Lana and Aiden were feuding, like they didn't like each other, and then suddenly Rusev Day was a coherent whole.
Yeah. Could be. I mean, who knows what the end of the sentence was. But I think you're more or less on the button there. But I loved this. I thought this was really, really great.
Yeah. And then later on, Rusev is still looking for English, but Lana catches up with him.
Somehow she overtook him.
Yeah. Well, I think Rusev was just running round. And Lana goes, you know, let me explain. And Rusev says, let's not do this here. Yeah. And storms off.
We'll have this argument at home in private. Love that.
Can't wait for that to pay off at Super Showdown.
Yep. I think, actually, what I think they're going to build this up as a big angle for SmackDown 1000. I think that's where you want to do the big payoff, like the big reveal as to whether or not it was all a ruse by Aiden or whether Lana did do nefarious things. And you build it like as your big, almost like, you know, they do weddings on like big shows and things like that. Like you build it as a big storyline conclusion for SmackDown 1000.
That'd be really nice.
Yeah, and then it'd be really good.
And then they can hopefully all get back together again and be Rusev Day again.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I was thinking about this with SmackDown 1000 because they were talking about this with the Randy Orton thing. You know, he's going to be back there with Evolution, that famous SmackDown faction Evolution that only ever appeared on Raw. This Randy Orton's going to feel very weird in that segment.
With Batista, Triple H,
and Ric Flair.
What
I don't want is Randy Orton to just go out of character and just be like Evolution Randy Orton. Or worse, Triple H to make jokes about it.
Yeah.
Because that's where my mind is going, is that Triple H is going to be go into Triple H mode, smarky Triple H mode, and just start making jokes about it.
I've been looking forward to SmackDown 1000 as kind of a mini pay-per-view, but you're right. It could be a Raw 25 out of continuity special.
I know.
Ah, no.
Yeah.
Oh, well, next up we got Shelton Benjamin versus Daniel Bryan, which was, you know, it was a good match.
Yeah, did you see Brian with the flying headbutt?
So, yeah. Like,
I wish he'd stop doing it.
So what happened? Daniel Bryan does a flying headbutt off of the top rope. Shelton rolls out the way, doesn't roll far enough. Him and Daniel Bryan collide heads. And that's got all the momentum of Daniel Bryan jumping off the top rope, gravity straight into each other's craniums. Daniel Bryan retired due to concussions. What? Like, you know, he talked about adapting his style so it's safer when he comes back. But, like, I mean...
Stop doing that.
That's the first one to go. No one's going to miss that move. And you look at the long, like, list of people who have done that move and... It has, you know, come back to haunt them physically or mentally later in life. Chris Benoit, Dynamite Kid.
I was going to say, Dynamite Kid, he said in interviews, I wish I never did that move. Like, I wish I never popularized that move.
Yeah.
Because it's a move that people just wanted to emulate because they wanted to be like me. And now I'm, you know, I'm in a wheelchair.
It's and like, it's weird that earlier in the day or earlier in the week, Daniel Bryan had, like, taken a lot of fans to task for being so vocal against Brie Bella. That debate, you know, Brie Bella's botch against Liv Morgan, that debate aside, let's be fair here. Daniel Bryan, that was stupid.
Yeah, not the smartest thing.
No.
I mean, no one knows him, his body better than him, but it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Knowing that, you know, he did have to retire due to head injuries. And maybe that's just on me. Like, Daniel Bryan probably knows better. He probably thinks he's okay. And that's fine. If he thinks it's okay, then more power to him. But it's like when Bret Hart came back and they were doing lots of angles where he sort of almost kept falling over. And it panged me with worry every single time he stepped into the ring. Mm. Because I'm like, dude, I do not want you falling over and, like, being crippled on live TV.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Benjamin works over Bryan's ribs for a bit. That will probably play into the match this Saturday. Yeah, great way to put in a story point just before the end. And Bryan nearly had it won, but Miz gets up on the apron. He was on commentary for the whole thing. He's about to be knocked down by Bryan. He gets knocked down by Bryan, sorry. Goes for the knee on Benjamin, but Benjamin counters it and wins.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had Benjamin win here, a guy who hasn't been on TV for many, many months, getting a win over Daniel Bryan. And he wasn't even like, there wasn't brass knucks involved, the hardest punch in WWE from Miz. He only was just distracted for a bit.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't a fan of this.
I said in the review, I'm not a fan of people, wrestlers in high-profile matches losing on go-home shows because... I don't see the point in having people lose.
Yeah. Especially to, you know, unfortunately, Shelton Benjamin is nothing at the moment. That's how he's been presented by WWE. So, yeah, doesn't really help anyone.
Yeah, this win doesn't feel like it does anything for Shelton, and it almost hurts Bryan, really. But the key to it, as you said, was that Miz was working over, well, Shelton's working over Brian's ribs, and then Miz started throwing him into the announcer's table afterwards and hit the Skullcrusher finale in the middle of the ring, targeting those ribs. So he's got the Ronda Rousey injury now. Yeah. So we'll see how that plays into Super Showdown.
Oh, man, I really want Brian to win so he can go for the title now.
I'm pulling for Miz to win.
I like Miz, but this feud's made me sour on him a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just, both guys, it's flattened them out for
me. Oh, it's good. Yeah, it's flattened out both lads.
Which is crazy, but I think Daniel Bryan has a lot more upside going against either Joe or AJ. Yeah, I'm fully weighted behind wanting Bryan to win in terms of future storylines. Bryan has to be at the top of the card now. He's re-signed. He's got the Miz feud out the way. He needs to be in the title picture.
Well, I mean, either that or it's, you know, I was thinking Miz wins and then you have the put your number one contendership on the line, up at my career on the line.
That could be a good step.
I almost feel like with the way that this feud has been building, it almost feels like that should be the payoff, is that Bryan wants to put his career on the line and that's when he gets the big win over the Miz.
Well, that should have been at SummerSlam. A lot of Raw recaps. I only noted it down here. There was about three lengthy ones of like the Shield and thingy, but you know, it's the sell Super Showdown.
Yeah.
And then we got Asuka versus Peyton Royce. Asuka won.
Yep.
I can't wait for the Super Showdown match.
Remember yesterday when I said I was more interested in this match than I was the Riot Squad,
and I said that's ridiculous.
And I was like, no, I think I am. I might be wrong. I really like the Iconics. I really like Asuka. I really like Naomi. But man alive, this feud is utter pants. Yeah. Like, it's nailed. There's so much more heat in Randy Orton and Ty Dillinger and Rusev and Aiden English. Neither of those are at Super Showdown, but this is. Mm. And this is a nothing feud. Like, I was trying to, like, recap it in my notes. So week one, it's like Fantasy Booking Warfare. Week one, Billy Kay beat...
We should do that again sometime.
Oh, yeah. Billy Kay beat Naomi, and then Peyton Royce beat Naomi. So that was like 2 weeks in a row. I might have got that slightly out of order. And then Naomi defeated one of them. But then she got in a 2-on-1 beatdown, and Asuka made the save. So Naomi's already beaten one of them in a fair match. And then I think Asuka and Naomi then beat Absolution, and then Asuka's just beaten both of them the last couple of weeks. Like, how can anyone be interested in a match between these two teams?
Hmm.
Like, honestly,
I'm certainly not.
No, if there was a pre-show for this card, this have to be on the pre-show.
Hmm. Yeah, I totally get booking the Iconics there. I think that's a very smart idea.
Makes
it's
sense.
Their home country, but
yeah.
Like the Asuka Naomi pairing is ridiculous as well. An awful waste. So one of the things, along with the New Day, which side of annoying are they this week? People have been getting in touch with me on Twitter about, hey, do you hate this charity segment as well?
You absolute monster.
Because before Asuka came out, Naomi was in the ring to introduce some people from the Susan G. Komen, not Coleman.
God.
I just wasn't paying attention.
Because you just hate charities.
And Dana Warrior was out there. Yeah. So, yeah, did I hate it? No. But at least it was a babyface doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was awkward as all hell and fudged in there. And I researched the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and they aren't that great.
Well, yeah, it's probably best you don't look into that in too much detail.
Yeah,
but it's a lot like a lot of WWE foundations. There's a lot of not a lot of great stuff to be written.
Allegedly. Then we got some mixed match challenge promos. Jimmy Uso and Naomi, fine, and Lana and Rusev on the same page.
Yeah.
After
it was pre-recorded, obviously.
It's sloppy though. I mean, I have that earlier on.
I haven't seen Mixed Match Challenge. I mean, I haven't seen anything from Mixed Match Challenge this season.
Not many people have.
Not many people have. But I don't know if that was played up. In fact, the only thing I've seen from Mixed Match Challenge, that match, was they did a spot where Jimmy Uso put the Rikishi sunglasses on Rusev.
Are you going by my notes?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, Jimmy and Jay is interchangeable sometimes when I'm writing stuff down.
I feel so bad for them.
They're identical twins.
I know, but like I feel really bad that we never get it right. But they did do
one
the...
One of them needs to get a boob job. Then I can tell them apart.
One of the, wear a cap backwards.
So
they did the... they put the Rikishi sunglasses on Rusev. So he's so devastated by all of this Milwaukee business. He's quite happy to have a little bit of fun in the ring.
Yeah. Well, you got to blow off steam. It must be stressful.
Yeah,
your wife being
with your wife
of
on with at ringside. Yeah,
but the main event segment, it was built throughout the night. Becky Lynch has a surprise for us. You know, not a big surprise.
No,
I wouldn't have built it this way.
No,
because
this didn't
feel
like a main event segment.
Yeah, it was a poster. It was a funny set. I thought Becky's promo
was
excellent.
Was so great.
Yeah, she introduced her own video package. And
she's a heel,
which was like she introduced her own video package, which definitively portrayed her as the heel.
Yeah.
So why even try and explain these things?
But
it comes back to the crowd cheering for her.
Absolutely. And she was like, wasn't that great? Hey! And everyone was like in agreement. Yes, it was great. It was a brilliant video package that made you look like a badass. Mm. And you are a badass. You're such a good promo. And she told the very true thing of, I'm the best thing on SmackDown since SummerSlam. 100% yes. In full agreement with you there. Absolutely 100%. And then, covering here, she's the heel, folks. And then she points out again, it's this like, completely being justified in her actions. Despite being champion, she's still not on the front covers of magazines. I mean, I don't know, does WWE still have a magazine?
Sure.
Kids magazine, probably.
It was cancelled. I don't know, carry on.
Yeah, so she's not on the cover of magazines. She's not on the posters. She's not on billboards or anything like that, which is all true. She even retweeted that she's not on the poster for Super Showdown, while Nia Jax is. She's not on the show. Bray Wyatt's on the poster. He's not on the show. Finn Balor's on the poster. He's not on the show. But old Becky Lynch.
Bray Wyatt.
But I mean, the reason why she's not on the poster is because it was announced back in May or whenever it was, and they weren't really doing anything with her at that point. But you know, she still makes an excellent point. She's not been on the poster, so she unveiled her new poster for Super Showdown, which paid off from the angle last week where she beat up Charlotte during the photography, and she was standing on her back holding up her title, and that's the poster. And it is so much better than the poster that they've got for Super Showdown, because there are two ways of doing WWE pay-per-view posters at the moment. It's either people standing there smiling with a picture of the arena, or it's Braun Strowman as a demon.
Yeah. Neither super effective.
No.
I saw a really nice fan-made poster of Super Showdown, and what they did is they just taken out a lot of the faces. So you had Triple H and Undertaker and Charlotte and Becky Lynch. And like, what? That's kind of like what boxing does. You build a card around one super or two big fights, your main events. Because you don't, it's almost choice paralysis. If you put everyone on the card, it's overwhelming. You don't know where to look. But this way, it's a lot more focused on the big main draws. But, you know, WWE is the draw, right?
They're the
not
brand,
the performers,
yeah.
Which, of course, we disagree with. Hmm. But this was good. Not so surprising. But and not really like the main event go-home angle.
It really wasn't.
That the show probably deserved. Charlotte runs down.
Well, Becky had a great line where she said, this Super Showdown isn't about Triple H and Undertaker. It's about me as champion. I was like, this is great. Mm. Yeah, but then Charlotte ran down to booze, and she beat up Becky to...
Heavily
booze. To more booze. And then she suplexed her through the poster and locked into the figure four to even heavier booze. And then the crowd started chanting for Becky. So good job, guys. It's... Man, just go with it. Like, you've got something, just go with it. I know you've got plans. You've got this vision in your mind that Charlotte is the face of the women's division on SmackDown Live. I get that's what you're going for. But if it's not working, then just don't do it. Mm. Like, if you're building Lego, like, so if you've got a Lego set, and you're building a Lego set, and you suddenly realise...
Keith Lee's just gone. We're building Lego.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
And you suddenly realise, I've missed out some really key pieces here. And now it's all wobbling all over the show. And if I put this next to all of my other Lego pieces, it's going to look really rubbish because it's just falling around. And if someone bangs into the table, the whole thing is crumbling down. That's Charlotte at the moment. That's Charlotte as the face of the SmackDown Women's Division. She is a wobbly Lego structure that's got lots of pieces missing. But if you went against that and just like... like, let's push her as the heel and don't change Becky's character, then you've got something to go with there. It's such a shame, because as I said in the review, all they've done is they've turned her into the female Roman Reigns, and that sucks. That really sucks, because Charlotte should be so much better than just being pigeonholed as the female Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
She's even got the spear.
And yeah, God, she has, hasn't she? And yeah, that Lego metaphor is so universal. I think that's hit home with many people.
Thanks, man. Keith Lee in particular.
Well, overall, you gave this a high smack bang in the middle.
That's because I really enjoyed the Aiden English and the Randy Orton stuff. As I said in the review, like my beef with this show wasn't really that it was a bad show. It was just it was a bit of a lackluster go-home show. And actually, all of the angles they did to promote Super Showdown were pretty rubbish. But all the angles they did to promote not Super Showdown yeah, were really good.
Yeah, Orton stuff was great.
Yep.
Like you said, the Lana English stuff was really good.
And I had fun with the Fabulous Truth at the start of the show.
Yeah, but that's really that was all on the net. It was a fine show. So yeah, I just gave it smack bang in the middle.
Just think about the Avengers.
I'm really excited.
Can't stop.
That's what's
it,
getting me through today.
I know. Well, me and the wife have still got plans to go to the cinema.
What are you gonna see?
Crazy Rich Asians.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think The Apprentice is better.
Well, it's an early enough showing that we can go back and then watch The Apprentice on catch up. So that, I think, might be our option. Because we used to do that for Taskmaster. But I think we could probably save Taskmaster for tomorrow and watch that. And I'll watch Bake Off when I can.
As much as I'm loving that Apprentice is on tonight, I'm 3 episodes deep into Maniac.
Oh, yes, you are, yeah.
I just want to keep watching that.
Yeah.
It's freaking incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think we might be able to get some time in on Friday to watch some stuff because we're going away for the weekend, hence why I'm not around for Super Showdown. We want to do a lot of housework on Sunday. But I do want to see it.
My bold prediction is you won't like it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think this will be like, what was that other show? I can't remember the guy who. It might have been Fincher thing.
Oh, David
now.
Fincher. You're talking about my Mindhunter.
That's Mindhunter, yes. No. Which I thought was broadly fine.
Oh, that's amazing. No, this is the complete opposite end. It's really zany. It's kind of like Michelle Gondry came up with some. It's effectively Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind, but told in this weird alternate reality where everything is all technology is still based in the 80s.
Oh, cool.
But seems to have today modern day capabilities.
Mm.
So, like, I think you'd appreciate the set design, but you might get annoyed with the kitschiness of it.
Well, we'll certainly see.
We'll see.
We'll see. Ryan Palmer has sent in this Rusev. Hey! Hello, Luke and Ollie. Thank you for the great content that you provide. I think you'll find it's consistent content you provide on a daily basis. I've been a fan for over a year now, and you've given me a mention a few times. The first time was when I discovered you and had left a 5-star review, advising that I was playing catch-up by listening to several months' worth of old podcasts before catching up to the most recent one. And the second time was my submission for the Crap Gimmick roster. My submission, which I'm fairly sure you have signed, but haven't mentioned since, was the CSA. I'll be honest with you, I don't remember
CSA.
That one.
Customer Service Assistant.
Oh, yeah, that one is
missing.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah. We'll get on that.
My Rusev hate is fairly short and sweet. I am a referee for a local wrestling company in Newcastle-upon-Tyne, MEW. Mew, the famous Pokemon. I have lots of interactions with all sorts of wrestlers, such as Chris Renfrew, BT Gunn, Amir Jordan, Adam Maxted, Grado Bram, who I've taken a bump from, Little Miss Roxy, HT Drake, Rory Coyle, Sammy Jane, and Viper. Just pick up all those names that you've just dropped there. But this is where the actual Rusev hate comes in, because at first I thought that was it. And
I met loads of people.
Yeah.
If you work in wrestling.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's okay.
That's where we did our Rusev hay with Keith Lee, I suppose.
Yeah.
The dressing room area has a male toilet and a female toilet, but both toilets have no lighting at all. On one particular show, Viper was booked. She needed a visit to the toilet. There's no lighting at all, yeah. It's like the studio we're currently in. Studio with the big inverted commas.
In the toilets, though?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess if you've got a window to the outside and you can get some light through there.
Yeah. Well, my bathroom doesn't have a light in it at the moment. It hasn't had now for about 6 months.
But I'm just worried there's no window there either. It wouldn't be pitch black. Carry on with the email.
Well, it is at night. Or when I get up to watch Raw. On one particular show, Viper was booked. She needed a visit to the toilet, but there were no lights in the toilet. She also had no phone with her. She needed a torch and was asking around for one. I offered her to use my phone with the torch on, which she happily accepted. That's it. I said it was short. That's from Ryan Palmer. Great.
Brilliant. Well, great story,
that
Ryan.
That is the kind of Rusev hay that I love. That one is too long, though. Do you want to talk about... what are you excited for about The Apprentice?
Well, you know, it's just me sitting round waiting for the scavenger hunt task.
Mm-hmm.
But that won't be episode one. I'm looking forward to seeing Karen back on my telly.
Yeah.
Love Karen. Claude is awesome too.
I used to really fancy Karen Brady until I realised that she looks a little bit like my friend's wife, and now I just feel a bit uncomfortable about it.
Now I fancy her even more.
So I've stopped doing that since.
I like Alan Sugar's seamless delivery of one-liners that have obviously been scripted for him, but he actually makes sound like they're just coming out. It's incredible.
He could teach WWE wrestlers a certain thing or two.
He's a great promo, Sugar.
Jamie Johnson has sent an email in to say, hello, Luke and Ollie. This will be a nice and short Rusev hay. I met Kurt Angle at Disney in Florida once. Brag. And here's a photo.
That was a great Rusev hay.
You can sort of see the photo of him there. There with Kurt Angle.
Kurt dressed as Thanos.
It's from with a nice gold chain, like he's a mafia man, like the main event mafia man he is. That's from Jamie, living in the north of England -Yorkshire.
Cool.
Well, great. Lovely stuff. That's the kind of Rusev Hayes that we enjoy. But that is all we have got time for on today's show. Please do tune in, because we're going to be back tomorrow, in fact, for the first weekly, for now, NXT review series. Thank you for everyone who backed us on Patreon to get us to this point. However, the Patreon snap came into effect. We're now gone below our target. So what we decided is we're going to do it for the month. But what we want to do is we want to get to 750 and stay there consistently. That's the key word to this podcast. So that when November kicks in, we'll still be past that 750 mark. So that's our aim. So please listen in. Hope you enjoy it. It's going to be me and El Fakador doing it. And we're going to read out some more of your emails on tomorrow's intro and outro. But until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.